This is MemberCare Media, a media ministry of TWR. Up next, a conversation we believe will be helpful to you. This is a copyright production of MemberCare Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.
You deserve to pause and be refreshed. And that's what MemCare by Radio is all about. You see, we're here for you. Our team are people who care and want to encourage you. And we like to focus on what we feel is essential and analyze what really matters in life. So please stay with us for the next 15 minutes or so and evaluate for yourself. And with us once again is Edmund Speaker. And I'll tell you what, Edmund, I've said this before, but you are quite the global traveler. So, Edmund, where did your last trip take you to? Bring us up to date.
Well, first, Scott, what a joy to be back here in your studio. And actually, my last trip took me to India.
I know that's a very special place in your heart. But was it your first trip, and what took you there?
No. I already have some special friends in India. But this time, my visit was related with a leadership seminar we had in Chennai in South India. And several of our attendants reinforced what I had heard in other countries as well, namely the importance to bring the teaching of those leadership seminars to a broader audience.
Ah, and so that's why you are here with us in the studio to talk about leadership. But thanks for coming, Edmund. And so I take it, though, this is what's on your mind today.
Yes. And actually, I would like to say that yesterday, a couple of world news just caught my attention and somehow stirred my soul. There was first, and we know the financial crisis is really creating havoc in the world, but this tiny island of Iceland is economically bankrupt. And now people are speaking out against the greedy business tycoons and an irresponsible government that should have seen the warning signs of the irresponsible financial markets.
Right.
Well, that was one. The other one was about when the new U.S. leadership speaks about the greatest loss in the recent recession. It's not money, but really the trust of people in people and in those who run the system. So very visible public figures are involved in scandals, bribes, self-serving politics, financial porks, and so on. And then the third, and that really hit home. In Germany, the last participant of the attempted assassination of Adolf Hitler just died. And he revealed shortly before his death, in a widely circulated interview, how fearful and helpless many of those high-ranking officials and leaders of the German army felt in resisting the criminal behavior and mass murder of the well-organized and ruthless Nazi minority. They did not see a way to stop the enormous atrocities and evil that cost millions of lives.
Edmund, Iceland is a highly developed society, and of course so is the U.S. and Germany. Those people had the highest standard of living and access to the best education systems. Don't these facts lead us to search for the root cause of the evil in this world? As we look around us at every level of society, we see problems.
Yes, Scott, and there is a basic reason. And it's not of political, social, or economical nature, but rather it's spiritual. It is not about what we have or how much we know. It's all about who we are, what our values and heart commitments are. And that is profound. It's also not first a matter of the government and systems that are in place. Rather, it's about the condition of each individual, each one of us. Jesus affirms clearly that out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adulteries, fornication, theft, false witnesses, slander. Where did we start? And how did it start?
Right. Well, I guess, Edmund, that takes us back to the very beginning, to the root cause, as the Bible tells it. We live in a fallen world, and we've lost paradise. Adam and Eve, the first human beings, had been created in God's image, pure and holy. Nevertheless, with free will to either become worshipers of God or to disobey his commands. And of course, we know what happened. They disobeyed to a large order.
Well, maybe, Scott, why don't you read the passages or some passage here from the first book of the Bible in Genesis chapter 2, starting at verse 15. And it tells us how it started.
I'll be happy to do that, Edmund. Starting off with Genesis chapter 2. Then God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and keep it. The Lord God commanded the man, saying, "From any tree of the garden you may eat freely, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat from it you will surely die."
Well, we know how the story unfolds.
Right.
After God created Eve as Adam's helpmate, she was tempted by the serpent, which was Satan, the devil in disguise. And the serpent was cunning and questioned God's command, suggesting that they should eat the forbidden fruit in order to be like God. Both Adam and Eve gave in to the temptation to be independent from God. They willfully disobeyed God's command and ate from the fruit and consequently died spiritually. It is important to understand that they didn't die immediately physically, but their relationship to God was interrupted because of their voluntary act of defiance towards their Creator. They were expelled from paradise, from God's presence. And this separation from God is a spiritual death which condemns every human being to eternal damnation. The hard attitude of rebellion and independence from God that Adam and Eve demonstrated is what the Bible calls sin. The Bible says that the salary of sin is death. Through Adam, death has come to all men, because in Adam all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Now, the consequences of sin and its impact on our society even today are all around us, because each human being is impacting its own environment from his inside, his heart of sin. With Adam and Eve, our first parents, we have lost paradise. Since then, mankind lives far from God.
And Edmund, to be honest, this is a revealing truth, and it includes you and me, all of us.
And no doubt about it. The word of God is clear. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And the Lord has looked down from heaven upon the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek after God. They have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one.
How devastating, and also, sadly, how revealing. How important to understand that unless something radical and transformational happens, there's no way for anyone to be a godly leader because of the sinful conditions of his own heart. And sadly, Edmund, that includes myself and you.
Yeah, and that is a point. And truth is that there is no way to change this with any self-effort. Mm. We need God's intervention, a miracle. We need to be born again spiritually. We need a heart transplant. But there is good news too. The Bible declares that God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. This cannot be obtained through good works or by following any religion or religious laws, but by faith alone. The Bible declares, "But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ, for all those who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus." Friends, to be a leader that makes a difference for God, we need to build on this foundational truth. We need to lead from a new heart. That requires a humble recognition that I am a sinner. And it requires the acceptance of God's grace and forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I was still very young when I first heard and believed in Jesus as my Savior. And he gave me new life. His Spirit now lives in me. And I have a new identity because he promised that those who receive Jesus and believe in his name are made children of God. How wonderful to be transformed from sinner to a child of God. But as you, I'm still living in this world. I also discovered that having a new identity had not changed a couple of my old habits and customs or the world outside. I needed to learn how to make the right choices, to lead from a new heart inside. I had to surrender to the Lordship of Jesus and to let go of the false programming I had received through my culture, environment, and the wrong thinking pattern, which were not from God.
Well, Edmund, this is a challenging, sometimes amazing, and very critical process that I had to go through myself. Actually, the Bible calls this to lay aside the old self and to put on the new self. It's actually what we could call the process of spiritual formation.
Yes, and for that to take place, God uses special events and crises in our life in order to reveal to us what we need to let go, where we need to lose control. I remember very clearly how these moments of testing made me search more in the Word of God and also become more consciously obedient to the voice of His Spirit in me.
In light of the fact that the root cause of human misbehavior is his sinful nature and the separation from God, then the reason for bankrupted countries, the lack of integrity in governments, and the helplessness against organized evil, as happened during World War II in Germany, is unavoidable unless there is a turning to God. Is that right, Edmund?
That's exactly the case. And as long as mankind doesn't turn back to God, it will get only worse in spite of all the technological progress. Listen to what the Bible says. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength, and whose heart turns away from the Lord. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the waters. But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, and whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by the water, that extends its root by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit.
This feature is a presentation of Member Care Media. Thanks for taking the time to listen. We invite you to check out our website further. We offer audio features and resources to help you in your work and daily life. In addition, we have links to other helpful websites that will be an encouragement to you and your family. This is a copyright production of Member Care Media and may not be reproduced without prior written consent.